All right, good evening, everybody. Again, our Shabbos, the first Shabbos when it comes in really early. So, Be'ezros Hashem, let's have some inspiration for our neshama, our soul, besides for the kemach that we are all busy preparing, Erev Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, which is important too. Let us remember to nourish our souls as well. So, I'm going to begin by screen sharing right away. Can you see my hand up? Okay, so first of all, this shiur is sponsored, as you could see on my screen, by Ruti Berkowitz. It is Lilui Nishmas, her mother's fifth yahrzeit. The neshama should have an aliyah and the merit of the Torah we share this evening. Yehudis Bas David. But this is very interesting. I teach a tefillah class every other Monday morning since summer 2014. We are studying the Sefer of Shimshon Pinchas, Sha'arim B'Tefillah. Gates of Prayer, and Baruch Hashem, 6 years, every other Monday morning. We are not finished yet. It says, Chus for Riches Yamim and Shanim. I once heard Rabbi Shai Shechter say that in the name of his father, Shlita Rav Herschel Shechter, if it takes you a long time to finish your Sefer, it's Chus for Riches Yamim and Shanim, because Hashem will give you the time to keep learning. So when someone sponsors, and we tremendously appreciate the sponsors that keep this Torah Shiur going from week to week, and I asked Ruti if she wanted to tell me something about her mother. She said, and this was her response, and I copied and pasted it. Thank you, Michal. There's so much to say about my mother and to learn from her. I would not know where to start. Just one nakuda or two. My mother was a businesswoman, but during her davening, from the hours of 8 to 10, she would not take any calls. She was not allowed to be disturbed. She said first the Tehillim Shalyam, and then Shachris. She would never daven without being fully dressed with a sheita. I found this unbelievably powerful because for so many of us, tefillah is such a challenge. Something we need to chaper on. Some of you, I'm sure, listened to my Torah Imecha Parsha. I got a lot of feedback from it actually this week. It was about the importance of davening before we check the news. I didn't know when I recorded it a few weeks ago how apropos it would be for this week. A lot of people reached out to me about it. It was real hashgacha. And this really moved me, what Ruti said about her mother. It really moved me because it's a challenge for us. And here's a woman who was a survivor who understood the importance of tefillah, and not only tefillah, but making the time, the concentration, refusing to be disturbed, because when you're in front of the Melech Malchei Himlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is more important than talking to God? And who understood as well the Kavod Melech, that she looked bekavodik, she got dressed, because if you have an appointment with the king, you better look like you have an appointment with the king. And I found it extremely moving. And I told that to Ruti. I said, this is unbelievable. I teach a tefillah shiur every other Monday morning for 6 years, and this moves me very much, and it's extremely inspiring. And it's a lesson, and it's something to learn. So even though tonight's shiur is not on tefillah, it is fundamental. And I also think that it's beautiful because Ruti specifically mentioned her mother's tefillah shachris. And this week's parasha, Bereishis 19:27, Yotes Chav Zayin Vayashkim Avram Beboker Alamakom Asher Matram Espinei Hashem. And the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Chav Vav Amar Beis Mikan Avram Tikein Tefillah Shachris. So it's amazing that Ruti is sponsoring Lulu Nishmas, her mother, who one of the most important parts of her Avodas Hashem was her Tefillah Shachris. It is Davka, this week's parasha, that Avram Avinu, the father of the Israelis, who we are going to be speaking about in our shir tonight, founded Tefillah Shachris. So I'm now going to go back to my screen share. Can you see? So with that as our introduction, and it's moving on a lesson for all of us, may the neshama of Yehudas Bas David merit an aliyah on the occasion of her fifth yahrzeit. So I want to go to Pirkei Avos, Parakei Mishnah Gimel. And I noted last week, I would like to speak about this Mishnah 2 weeks in a row. So here we go. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us, Asar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu Va'aman Bekulam. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests, and he withstood them all. Lahodia Kama Chibaso Shal Avram Avinu. So we saw last time that first I translated incorrectly. I thought it was to let know how endeared Avram Avinu was, but to let it, no, not to let it, well, I think it goes both ways. How much Hashem loved Avram and how much Avram loved Hashem. And I think that should be a relationship of every Jew with the Ribbono Shel Olam. What were the 10 tests? I mentioned last week that I want to speak about that. What were the 10 tests? Because the Mishnah does not tell us. And when you learn through the parashas that deal with the life of Avraham Avinu, beginning at the end of Parashas Noach, culminating really with his death in Parashas Chayisar, Perachav Hei, the Torah does not have Roman numerals. Okay, this is Roman numeral number one, this is Roman numeral number X, and every Roman numeral in between. No. The Torah does not tell you which are the 10 tests. So Avraham Avinu's life was a life of trial, of test, of nisyonos. But what were they? So let us begin with the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura says, Asar nisyonos. We should know what the 10 tests were. So the Mefarshim have different counts. Echad Ur Kastim. The first test of the Bar Tanura was Ur Kastim, Shehishlichu Nimrod, the Kivshana Eish. Nimrod threw him into the fiery furnace. This is not in the Torah text. Rashi, to per gir aleph, pasuk chavchas, write it down, the precious Noach mentions this nisayon. We all know that he broke his father's idols. His father Terach denounced him to the king. The king threw him into the fiery furnace. So according to the Bar Tanura, to be Moser Nefesh, his own life, al kiddush Hashem, he was Moser Nefesh, his own life, the belief in one God. He smashed the idols. They threw him into the fire for it. He escaped, and it was a tremendous nis. What was the second test? Lachucha me'artucha. To leave your land and to go to a new land. And this is not an easy thing. And he was 75 years old. Shlishi, he gets to the new land and there's a famine in the land. You told me I should come here and it's going to be wonderful. And there's a famine in the land. And this was a test for Avraham Avinu. I thought it's going to be good. Now I'm starving. So what does he do? He goes down to Egypt. Well, when he gets down to Egypt, we have the next test. Revi, according to the Bar Tanura, Vatuka Chaisha Beis Paro. According to the Bar Tanura, the fourth test is separate. Egypt going down to famine in the land is three. The consequence of the famine is that he descends to Egypt. The consequence of that is that Sarah is taken by Paro. Chamishi, Parak Yud Dalad, Melchemes HaMalachim. Avram, who is not a warrior, he's a Kiruv master. He's one who recognizes God is all of a sudden embroiled in battle. He has to go to war. Shishi, Parak Tasvav, Ma'amad Bein Habasarim, the covenant between the pieces, where he is told that his children will go into exile. And this is a tremendous nisayon. My mother says it often, and she said it to me this week, era of the election, if you will. And she said, you know, I'm not worried for myself, said my mother. She is Kanainahar Baruch Hashem. She said, I'm already 7 years old. And Mayav Asim Shana with Arichos Yamim and Shanim Kikobench years. And she said, I'm not worried for myself. She said, I'm worried for my children and I'm worried for my grandchildren. And this is a sentiment that actually a number of people have echoed to me as well. Avraham Avinu was shown that his children would be strangers in a strange land. They would be oppressed. They would be tortured. That's a terrible nisayon for any parent to endure. Shehereu Shibud Malchus, God showed him by the Brisbane of Asarim, the enslavement by the different kingdoms, by the different exiles. Shvi, what was the seventh test according to Bar Tanura? Brismila, last week's Parsha Perak Yud Zayin. He's 99 years old. Nobody had ever heard of doing Brismila before. And Avram does Brismila that God commands him. Shmini, Vayishlech Avimelech, this week's Parsha. Avimelech sent and he took Sarah. Parachof. So Sarah was taken two times. Tishi, ninth test. Garesh ha'amazos v'espina. Send away this maidservant Hagar, Perachof Aleph, and her son. And that was a test for him. It was his own son. And Avraham Avinu was the Bechinas Chesed. Asiri ha'akeda. So according to the Bar Tanura, the tests begin with where Kastim and the Kibshana Eish, the fiery furnace. And they culminate in this week's Parsha Perachof Beis, which is the Akedas Yitzchak. What's interesting is that the first test is throwing himself into the fiery furnace and giving up his own life. And the last two tests, according to the Bar Tanura, involve, in a sense, giving up the lives of his children, Yishmael and Yitzchak. It is far easier. I should never be tested. I should never be in such a situation. It's hard to even say such a thing. But we understand that the test ascend in difficulty. Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shita, writes in his Yachal Yisrael's commentary on Pirkei Avos, that the test of Ur Kastim, Rabbi Lau says, it's not Michal Horowitz in his commentary to Perakei Mishnah Gimel, the test of the Kivshan Ha'esh would have been a relatively easy, test for Avraham Avinu. It would have been a momentary pain, and then his neshama would have ascended to the Olam Ha'emes. But the other tests require walking after God step by step, day by day. And furthermore, the final two tests, according to the Bar Tanura, involved giving up his child. No parent, Rachmana Litzan, may the Rabbanu Shalom have mercy on us, should ever be faced with such a nisayon. So that's according to the Bar Tanura. The Rambam has a slightly different count. The Rambam says, the Rambam doesn't have nekudos here, but I'm going to read it and translate. Everyone could see my screen, right? Do you think I'm neurotic enough about, could you see my screen? Okay. Famous last words of Micharetz, could you see the screen? The Rambam says, what are the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu? Haya nisyonos shenisnasa Avraham Avinu. Kulam diber hakasuf, about regarding hayud, hayud nisyonos and isnas avram avinu, kulam diber hakasuf, regarding the 10 tests of our patriarch Abraham, they're all discussed in the Torah text. Ha'alef, what was the first one? Ha'gerus, ba'amro yisparach lechacham eretzachaso. According to the Rambam, kivshan ha'esh, where a kastim, fiery furnace, is not one of the tests. It was a ma'isa in his life. The Medrash brings it down. Medrash brings Rab as quoted by Rashi, but it was not a test. The first test, according to the Rambam, is go for yourself, journey from your land to the new land that I will show you. Hasheni harav asher nimtza beretz Canaan bevosham. The second one, according to the Rambam, is the famine that he found in the land of Canaan. Then he got there. Why is that a test? V'hu ya'ado va'ascha l'goy gadol, because God testified and said to him, "I'll make you into a great nation." What kind of greatness is this? I get here and there's a famine. V'zeh nisayon gadol. And it was a very big nisayon. V'hu amar v'hi ra'a ba'aretz. It was a very big nisayon. So I picked up and I came and I slept and it's going to be good. And there's a famine in the land. What kind of land is this? Shlishi, chamas hamitzrim alav behilakach sarah laparo. The injustice of the Egyptians against him when sarah was taken to paro. Harivi, hilchamu ba'arba malachim. He battled the four kings. He was involved in the First World War, really, Avram Avinu. Hachamishi, lakcho hagar li'isha. This is very interesting. Achar sheno esh meholid misara. So this is very interesting. He says, the Rambam, that one of the tests was that he had to take Hagar as a wife after he despaired of having a child from Sarah. In the Pasha Pshat in Perek Tes Zayin, it seems that it's Sarah's suggestion, and this is actually a test. To take Hagar, says the Rambam, was a difficult test, and it was one of his 10 tests, to have to take Hagar as a wife. Shishi, a bris milah, that God commanded him to do in his old age. Shvi, chamas melech grar alav bilachos sar gamkein, the injustice of the king of Grar, Vimelech, when he took Sarah, this week's parasha. 8, Garesh Hagar, sending away Hagar, Achar, after what? Havenato mimena, after he built from her, after he had a son with her, sending her away was an Isayin. So it was an Isayin to take Hagar, and it was an Isayin to send away Hagar. Tishi, Harchakas bino Yishmael, v'hu amra yisparach al yirab b'einecha, al hanar. V'kvar heyida kasuv, echaya kasha b'einav hadav razeb b'amro, v'yira davar mel b'einei avram. So he had to send away, he had to make far away his son Yishmael. And God said it shouldn't be bad in your eyes, but it was very painful for Avraham Avinu. The matter was very bad in the eyes of Avraham, but nevertheless he listened to the command of God, Vigarsham. He had to chase away Hagar and Yishmael. Ha'asiri akedas Yitzchak. So both according to the Rambam and according to the Bartanura, the Akedah, this week's parsha, is the 10th, the final, the most difficult, the culmination of all his other tests. Interestingly, Rabbeinu Yonah holds differently a little bit. So I didn't give you the Lashon of the Rabbeinu Yonah because I don't want to take the entire shiur reading, even though we could. There's something to be said for that. But I wanted to give you a synopsis of what the Mefarshim say. One more opinion, Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, we're kastim nimrad kivshana esh, nisayin number one. So like the Bartanura, Rabbeinu Yonah also holds that the fiery furnace was one. Lach lecha, leave your land. Famine in the land. Sarah was taken by Paro. 5, the war of the four kings and the five kings. 6, bris milah at the age of 99. 7, Sarah taken by Avimelech. 8, sending away Hagar and Ishmael. 9, Akedah. Look at this, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, 10 is kavura Sarah. So he here, for our poll, okay, the Bartanura, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah's alone opinion that Kavura Sarah was a test. Now, no, not Misa Sarah, not the death of Sarah, that was not a test. She was 127 years old, she completed her tafkid, no mortal lives forever. Kavura Sarah was a test. As Hashem said, it's your land. Just like he comes to the land and there's a famine in the land, I thought it's going to be good for me. God said, this is your land. And now his wife dies and he has nowhere to bury her. I thought it's my land. I have to ask you, do you have to pay 400 pieces of silver shekel over the sachar to sit in your living room? It's your living room. You bought it. It's your living room. You inherited it. It's your living room. You have to pay $400 to sit on your couch. It's mine. So now his wife dies and this is my land. It's my land. Now I have to pay 400 silver shekel. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Kavura Sarah was a test. And like we said last week, everything that happens to our forefathers is a foreshadowing for future generations, which means that it should not surprise us that our lives are replete with nisyonos. I'm not making a joke. If this was Avram Avinu's path, and if everything that happened to the forefathers is a foreshadowing for their children, one of the appellations of Sefer Bereishis is Sefer HaSimanim. Bereishis is known as Sefer Bereishis. Sefer HaYetzirah, the Book of Formation. Sefer HaYashar are very famous by the Netziv in his introduction because the Avos were Yesharim. Sefer HaSimanim, because it's a book of omens of everything that will happen to the Bnei Yisra and our lives, individually and nationally, are replete with nisyonos. So what came to mind as preparing the shiur was the pasuk from Tehillim that we say in Hallel, Yasar Yisrani Kavul Amavis Lo Nisanani. But you know what I thought was so interesting? When I looked up the pasuk, now we're all going to remember the Shmak, Torah trivia. It's helpful to come up with, I can never say the word, mnemonics, I'm not saying it right. You know, tricks to remember. So I couldn't believe when I looked up this pasuk, Yasar Yisrani Kavul Amavis Lo Nisanani, God has given me over to chastisement. God has chastised me, but he has not surely chastised me, greatly afflicted me, but he has not given over me to death. So life has its share of Yisurim and Yisyonos. It's Tehillim 118:18. Why is that interesting? Kuf Yud Ches Yud Ches. You know why I find that interesting? You know what the secret to life is? Dabal Chai, Dabal Yisurim. Chai Chai, 118:18. Yasar Yisrani. Life is full of Yisodos. Life is full of Yisurim. And yet that's what makes us alive. And that is what makes us grow. It's being constricted. It's being challenged. Sometimes, dare I say, it's being afflicted that makes us become much stronger people. People we might not have recognized before the affliction was set upon us. I know we don't want nisyonos, but they change us. And that's one of the legacies of Avraham Avinu. Basar nisyonos nisnasa Avraham Avinu. What exactly were they? We went through the Bartanura, the Ram, and Rabbeinu Yonah. They each have their own count. Balamaisa, Avram became who he became. What does Hashem say after that? Keda ata yadati ki are elokimata. Lochasach das pincha zichircha mimani. Now I know you are God fearing. After the 10 tests, now I know. Because Avram never gave up. When a person is afflicted, it's not easy. Anisayon is just that, Anisayon. That somehow it fuels life. It makes us stronger, wiser, makes us more sensitive to other people. It makes us more caring, makes us more empathetic, it makes us more understanding, makes us closer to God. Torah trivia. What pasuk is Yasar Yisrani Kavul Amavis Lo Nisanani? Chai Chai. Kof Yod Ches Yod Ches. Because God did not give me over to death. One of the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu was the Bris Mila. We see it here in the Bar Tanura. Shvi'i Mila. Bris Mila. According to the Rambam, according to the Rambam, it's the sixth test. Mila, that God commanded him in his old age. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's also one of the tests. So according to all three, Bris Mila is one of the tests of Avraham Avinu. And we are fortunate to live in a society where we do not recognize that Bris Mila is a Nisayon. We don't appreciate it. But through the millennia, it has been a challenge. Rav Ephraim Oshri, on his responsa, the annihilation of Lithuanian Jewry, tells over a story in the ghetto that there was a Bris Mila taking place. And the only people present were the mother, the Maya, and the lookout. And the lookout, right before the Bris Mila, screamed out, the Gestapo is coming. And the Maya froze. And the mother said, if my child is going to die, I want him to die a Jew. Perform the Bris Mila. And we are very fortunate, Baruch Hashem. Every Bris we witness, the Achnisu Bevisho of Avraham Avinu, who is a test for Avraham Avinu, and has been a test for millennia of Yidden. I want to quote a very powerful story regarding the test of Bris Mila. I'm quoting from this book. It's called Listening to God by Rabbi Shlomo Riskin. It was in the early 1970s, when Russia was still under the communist regime, and there was no freedom of religion. And he was sent by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Riskin, to Russia. That Saturday night, this was in the early 1970s, about 2 o'clock in the morning, there was a banging on my door. At first, I thought I was dreaming. I didn't sleep very well in the Soviet Union anyway. The banging continued. I fearfully opened the door. I saw a short, wispy-bearded gabbai, together with another man in his 40s. The gabbai explained in Yiddish, this man had a son about to become bar mitzvah, and he had a 2-week-old baby. Neither the bar mitzvah boy or the 2-week-old baby had been circumcised. A Jewish doctor was ready to perform the circumcision, but he did not know the blessings. They wanted rabbinic supervision to oversee the ceremony. There was a cemetery outside of Riga. They asked if I, Rabbi Riskin, would be the religious authority for the circumcision ceremony at the cemetery at 4 o'clock in the morning. They felt this location in the middle of the night would protect us from the unfriendly eyes of the KGB. A car was waiting downstairs. Would I please oversee the circumcision and make the necessary blessings? I am very queasy about circumcision in the best of times, but I felt that I could not refuse. I told them because I am a Kohen, I cannot enter the cemetery. So we will take place, the circumcision will take place on the outskirts of the cemetery, which they accepted. We set out. Everybody was told to lie on the floor in the car on the way there. You know, and we hear that it was an Nisayon for Avraham Avinu, and I say this often, it's hard to learn Chumash with new eyes, because sometimes, and it's a chisaron, we are too used to the narratives in Chumash to really feel their impact. Rashi tells us by the Bris Milah of Avraham Avinu, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that the Bnei Dor wanted to stop him. They want to stop Noach from building the Teva. They want to stop Moshe from dying in his time. They want to stop the Jews from leaving Egypt. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Avraham Avinu did the Bris Milah Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh so that the people of the generation could not say, if we would have seen him, we would have tried to stop him. And we don't appreciate the Mesiras, we really do not appreciate the Mesiras Nefesh to bring every Jewish baby into the Bris Shel Milah of Avraham Avinu, because Baruch Hashem, Bechastish, and we live in a time and in a society where you don't have to be Moser Nefesh for this mitzvah. But hearing a story like this brings the Nisayon of Avraham Avinu down to our day and our time. Everybody was told to lie on the floor of the car on the way there. They couldn't even sit in the car normally. They had to lie on the floor so it would be like no one's in the car. We got to the outskirts of the cemetery before even the rising of the morning star. The only anesthesia that was administered to both the pre-bar mitzvah boy and the baby was some vodka. I also requested a shot to calm my fragile nerves. I braced myself. I said the Shema Yisrael. I made the blessings with added devotion that everything should occur properly, both medically and ritually. The doctor was very skilled. Both circumcisions took place quickly and efficiently, without a hitch. The boy was turning 13 in a cemetery, right outside a cemetery, under KGB Russia, with only a little bit of vodka. Very relieved and with shaking legs, I recited the final blessings, first over the wine, and then the blessing that gives the newly circumcised Jews their name. It's very relevant to this week's parsha, by the way, because Avram does a bris milah on Yitzchak his son in Perek Chaf Aleph, when he is 8 days old. So Avram did it on himself in Perek Yud Zayin, by the command of God. And now, by the command of God, he circumcises his son Yitzchak at 8 days old. In fact, Rashi to Bereishis 17:19 tells us that Yitzchak is an acronym. Yod Tzadi Ches Kof is an acronym. Kof, acronym. 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. Tzadi is 90, the age of Sarah when she had the child. 8 days of Bris Milah, 100 are the years of Avram when Yitzchak was born. So the name Yitzchak itself has embedded within it the lesson of Bris Milah. I braced myself. Oh, I said that already. Sorry. And then I made the blessing that gives the newly circumcised Jews their names. We were rushed for time. Dawn was about to break. I agreed to do the two circumcisions together. And just when I came to the prayer, Kashem Shen Nichnas the Breeze, Kenya Kanes, the Torah, the Chupa, the Maisim Tovim, just as he entered into the covenant of Avram, so he shall become a bar mitzvah, get married, and live a life of Torah and good deeds. The father became very agitated. No, no! Until now there was hushed silence, muted blessings. Suddenly the entire atmosphere was dangerously interrupted by the father's shouts. No, no! Nisht kishem! I don't want it to be just like. I don't even know why I'm doing this. I'm not even an observant Jew, said this father. I only know I want my children to be Jewish. And without being circumcised, I feel they won't really be Jewish in the full sense of the word. But nisht kishem, kishem shenichnas the bris. Just like my child entered the bris, this is how we should enter Torah, chuppah, ma'isim tovim. I don't want them to be bar mitzvah to enter Torah. And married, just like this, hiding in a cemetery, afraid for their lives of the KGB. I want future occasions to be in Jerusalem publicly, without fear, and with great joy. Concludes Rabbi Riskin, it was the most inspiring circumcision I ever experienced. And the best is the PS. And indeed, the circumcision of this man's grandson, the bar mitzvah boy's son, took place with great joy in Israel, and I was proud to attend. This week's parasha, Avraham Avinu does a bris milah on his son, Yod. 10 tests, which is the topic of tonight's shiur. Tzadi, the age of sorrow when she had the child. Ches, the days of bris milah. And Kuf, Avraham Avinu's age. God gave me over to suffering, but he did not give me over to death. And paradoxically, it's the nisyonos that give us, fuel us forward, just like they did Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu is told, I switched the screen, could you see? I'm so neurotic. When Avraham Avinu is told, in Perek Tesvav, the Brisbane of Sarim, we saw was one of his tests. He was told that his children were going to Galus. There's a famous pasuk. I guess all pasukim are famous. Some are more oft quoted, so they're more famous by us, not by the Chumash. At the beginning of Perek Tesvav, God tells him, I am your shield, your reward is very great. And Avram says, what are you going to give me? I'm going childless. And Avraham Avinu says, this one will not inherit you, Damesek Eliezer, no, the one who comes from your innards, your loins, your very self, he will inherit you. Pasuk Hey. Vayotze oso hachutza, God took him outside. Vayomer habeino hashamayim uspar kochavim. And God said to him, look to the heavens and count the stars. Im tucha lispar osam, if you can count them. Vayomer lo, and he said to him, ko yezarecha, so your children shall be. He took him outside and he said, look to the heavens and count the stars. If you can count them, and he said to him, so your children shall be. Rashi says he took him out of his mazel, out of his astrology. He lifted him above the heavens. You have a new mazel. Or the pshat, he took him outside and he said, look at the stars. Your children will be numerous like the stars. Rav Elimelech Biderman, Shlita, has an unbelievable pshat. Rav Elimelech Biderman says, if someone took you outside, not outside where there's light pollution, outside to the desert, outside to Midbar Yehuda in the middle of the night. One time in my life, I was zochah to be in the desert at night in Eretz Yisrael. You don't know what the night sky looks like until you've seen the desert at night. The desert sky at night. You don't know what the sky looks like. You think you see 1, 2, 3 stars, we're so excited there's a star. Someone took you outside into the Middle East, in the land of Canaan, and told you to count the stars. Like Taka, sit down and count the stars. What would you say? I can't count the stars. I'm saying literally. Can you count the stars? You can't count the stars. I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. I won't be able to do that. And I'll never finish the Tafkut. I can't do it. So you wouldn't even try. No, thank you. You know, next job. Rabbi Melech Binerman says, why did Avraham Avinu do when Hashem told him to count the stars? He went outside and he counted the stars. Someone else would have said, it's impossible. I can't. Avraham Avinu knew that nothing is impossible. And his children, says Rabbi Biederman, will never say it's impossible. When the situation looks bleak, when something looks hopeless, when the nisayon I am going through, Yasar Yisrani Ka, seems like I'm never going to get out of here, God. Count the stars? That's how your children will be? Your children, Avraham Avinu, will never say something's impossible. They will never say, I can't. No matter how difficult the situation looks, no matter how painful, no matter how vast the sky, how many billions are the stars, I'm going to try to count them. I'll leave the rest up to you, God. But I'm going to try. I will never say, I can't. And that's what Avraham Avinu implanted in us. Says Rabbi Biederman, that is how your children will be. How? They will never say anything is impossible. They will count and they will do what they can. And if we want our nisyonos to give us life, chai chai, yasar yisrani, amazing. Kof yirchas, yirchas. Torah trivia, because I remember it's so easy now. If we want our nisyonos to give us life, then we can never say it's impossible. Avraham Avinu did not look at his nisyonos and say it's impossible. Whatever God told him to do, he did. And if it was a test, he persevered. And if it seemed bleak, he walked forward anyway. Kol yezer recha, that's a koach he gave us. We all need the chizak. Who isn't facing difficult nisyonos that seem chas v'sham impossible? Who isn't facing challenges that are so daunting that we want to throw in the towel before we even begin? Im tu chalis parosam, Avraham Avinu said, oh yeah, I can count them. And Hashem said, ko yezarecha. That's what your children will say. They will never give up. I'm going to quote from the biography of Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. It was just his Yertzai Yer Alev Cheshvan. So a previous Rosh Shiva, V'Shiva Smir Yerushalayim, Gaon, a Gadol Dor, who was on his way to becoming, he was taken so young. Rav Nassim Tzvi, he was afflicted with severe Parkinson's the last 20 years of his life. Rav Nassim Tzvi obligates each one of us not to accept limitations. Not to accept limitations. Each person has what he considers his personal limitations. We have limitations on how much we think we can learn, on how much chesed we think we can do, which how much we have limitations on how much warmth and love we can spare for others. But Hashem knows when we reach the point of we feel it's enough, in reality, we can always do a little more. In order to bring the Shechina into this world, which was really Avraham Avinu's tafkid, with his 10 tests, to reveal God's glory. Look at the Rama, Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis. Avraham Avinu's task was to bring awareness of God to this world. And when a person feels they reach the point of it's enough, we have to do a little more. If we want to bring the Shechina into this world, we have to break through our self-imposed glass ceiling. That was the life of Rav Nassim Tzvi. No matter how much he did, he never considered it enough. He worked till he had no more energy, and then he worked more. It was there when he had no energy to move. But when it came time to say shir, he said he would just walk to the door of his house, because that much he could manage. And then he would reach the door, and he would say, I have the energy to get outside. And then he would get outside, and he would push himself to walk to yeshiva. And when he got to yeshiva, he said, I can just walk into the base medrash. And when he got into the base medrash, he said, I can just make it to the podium. And then he would find the strength to deliver Shir. It was there every time he greeted somebody. He once revealed in Avad the reason he smiled so much. When he was struck with illness, he realized children would be frightened by his appearance. He decided he would make a deliberate effort to smile as much as possible so people would feel ease around him. His brother, Rav Gedalia, said he always thought big. He thought big. This message of breaking through the glass ceiling can change the lives. I'm still quoting from this book. It's from Nassim Sufin called Art School Biography. If you have not read it, you should really read it. It's unbelievable. The message of breaking through our glass ceiling can change the lives. Oh my gosh. Miriam, didn't you tell me that Ruti's mother was a survivor from the glass house? Wow, Hashem could not have reached. This was not on purpose. Wow. The message of breaking through that glass ceiling can change the lives of every one of us. Even if we can't learn 12 hours a day, we can learn a little more. That's really testimony to what this shir brought to this world and to our lives. Do we have time for more? Another shir? More sponsors? More Torah? What's the answer? Do a little bit more than you think you can. We can break through constraints that keep us from becoming partners in Torah. And if we can't succeed, we have to look at the Rosh Hashiva and bring ourselves just to do a little bit more. The Rosh Hashiva would often tell people, there's no such thing as I can't. For someone else, it may have been lip service. Coming from him, it was pure truth. We can all reach beyond our limitations. We can all achieve greatness, each one of us in our own way. I think that's one of the most important I humbly offer you a final lesson, which I think, to put the whole shir together, is one of the most important messages of the Ten Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. They made Avram into the person that he was. They shaped Knesset Yisrael into the nation that it is. And it made each of us into the individuals that we are. Yes, he was tested with 10 tests, and nobody wants tests. Nobody asks for them. But paradoxically, Kof Yod Ches, Yod Ches, it's those 10 tests that somehow change us to become an Adam Gadol. And you look back and you say, wow, I am stronger than I was before. And you want God to take it away. But you're a changed person because you realize I could just make it through this hour and through this day and through tomorrow and through the week. I can just do a little bit more. And when the task seems impossible, vayetze oso hachutza, anyone else would have said, I can't count the stars, find someone else. What did Avraham Avinu say? 1, 2, 3, I'm going to try. And you know what Hashem said? Ko yezarecha. They will find a way to do circumcision, even if it's in a cemetery in Riga, in the middle of KGB Russia. They will always find a way to emulate Avraham Avinu and do just a little bit more. And then we will shine, ko yezarecha, as brightly as the stars. And we will light up the night sky. We will light up the darkness of this galus with the koach that we find from those tests. Until, I said the pasuk backwards. Until ultimately Hashem will bring retribution upon our enemies and we will emerge from our galios with rechush gadol, all that wealth in ruchnias, all that koach, all that day of Hashem, all that Torah, everything that fueled us, the Azos Hashem, we should be zocha to use those kochos to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. May the neshama of Yehudas Bas David, on the occasion of her fifth yurtzeit, merit an everlasting aliyah in the schus of this Torah. I thank you all for zooming in. We thank Ruti Berkowitz and all previous sponsors. I just want to mention, if any sponsors listening to this year online would like to take part in sponsoring this year, once you can reach me through my website, which is michalhoretz.com. I wish everybody a wonderful, uplifting Shabbos of Besuros Tovos. Thank you so much, everybody.